Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? I am back. I was out of town for the weekend. Sorry about that, everybody. But you come back on Tuesday, the John and Wayne Show. How are you doing today, Wayne? I am pumped about today's show. Week one camp review. We've learned a lot. How are we feeling?
Oh, yeah. Is that the right sound? Is that Macho Man? I did the Macho Man sound.
I heard it.
Okay. I'm going to snap it to the Slim Jim. Listen, I am great. 49ers camp is in full effect. We got some rookies that are teeing off and doing what they're supposed to be doing. We got some veterans that are doing what they're supposed to be doing. Like, everything is back in full circle. And this is where we get a chance and the opportunity, you know, to just kind of witness the growth of some of the veterans, guys, you know, fighting for jobs, injuries. You name it, man. The whole kit and caboodle is here, and I'm glad to be here with you, bro, on the John and Wayne Show talking about 49ers football.
So we're a week into camp, and I feel like we're already, you know, they've only had pads on. Today is the second day, but like, things are already starting to kind of make sense who's going where. Like, for example, you know, shout out to Jax. She's one of the best. She says, John and Wayne, so far in camp, has anyone surprised you guys? You know, it's not even just camp. The fact that they sent Jason Pinnock to the podium. Like, these are little things that you've got to pay attention to for those pressers, because those are guys. And so, like, I'm going to argue right now, and I think we were alluding to this, Jason Pinnock's a pinned-in starter week one. You know, if Malik Mustafa comes back, obviously that does shake things up a little bit. But it seems like you've got Jason Pinnock, and then you've got kind of Jair Brown rotating with Richie Grant, rotating with Marquise Siegel. Like, there's rotation at the other safety position, but it does kind of seem like, until Malik comes back, Jason's the guy. Like, would you agree with that?
Yeah, we kind of mentioned this last week's episode, if you go and listen, and I said that I think the starters would be Jair Brown and Jason Pinnock. And we had this conversation about what they did, what have they done in their careers. You know what I'm saying? Listening to Jason, it was good to hear him, Connecticut native like myself. It was good to hear from him, because I feel like he really is taking this opportunity and not missing his chance to blow it, right? And he knows he has an opportunity. And this allows the 49ers and their defensive staff to allow Malik Mustafa to fully recover and things like that, because they love the surges that we're seeing from Jason Pinnock. Now, I need to see more. I'm sorry. Like, I need more. But if we're penciling him in as a starter, I'm great with that. And I think he would start at the safety position. I prefer him in the box, but I want to see how interchangeable these guys are, because that's what makes the 49ers safety tandem great. Can they play in the box? Can they play deep? And their assignments. You know, he says he likes to play cover one. Like, cover one, cover three. Like, he's already fitting what the Niners like to do defensively. So it's good to have him in the building. And he's a veteran.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that, Thomas, with the quote. Jason Pinnock, I'm here to have an all-pro type impact. That is what's up. And, yeah, I respect the heck out of that. I really, really do like that. So I think that's huge. And, you know, it's funny, because this time last year they were sending Jair Brown up there. You remember? Like, Jair Brown was kind of the mainstay in that safety room. Things change. Yeah. Things change.
Well, it doesn't mean he's not the mainstay in the safety room. I just think, you know, Jair Brown's focus this year is totally different. I think he knows that he had a very down season last year, personally, and I think that's in him. And I like the fact that I feel like his drive is totally different, and it helps when you have great coaching. Not good coaching, but great coaching.
I don't think anybody's ever going to understand. You cannot overstate Sorensen to Saleh. You can't do it, man. You just You can't do it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Jason Pinnock spoke yesterday. Kubiak was the only one that spoke today, which I listened to. Not really a lot to take from it.
Correct.
Did talk about how Ayuk's out there, but, you know, wasn't really a lot there. The 49ers trained their coaches on what not to say. And that's a big reason why we're getting more Kubiak instead of Forster.
Absolutely.
Forster, he wants to talk about everything.
He will.
Missed him already, man.
Yeah. He'll give you a long version, the long version.
There we go. So, question back to you. Who else has kind of stood out to you or that you've been most excited to read and watch these kind of camp clips?
I told y'all that from week one, from the draft, that Upton Stout is going to be starting at the cornerback. And I know we said Trey Brown was cornerback 3. I want you to rethink that. He could still be cornerback 3 on the depth chart, but there's something about this Upton Stout kid. When you can play, you can play. And when you're standing out and you're breaking up and getting PBUs in practice, that pushes you up. That makes the coach's decision that much more difficult. I like it, John, when the coach got to sit there and be like, veteran, rookie. And they got to figure out the pros and cons and the production that they're getting from these players. And this is not a shot at Trey Brown. This is not a shot at any of the veterans. But when you have a kid like Upton Stout, who has been and always was one of my favorite top draft prospects that we talked about this season, it was Makuba, it was Upton Stout. I was always looking to get a guy that could come in and just play the nickel because I wanted Demo to play outside. He's a dog. So I'm loving what we're seeing from the rookie Upton Stout. And I understand that maybe not on base downs he's out there, but nickelback package. I think he's going to be a guy that's going to be the nickelback starter, man. I just really like what I'm seeing from him. And then offensively, we can't talk more about the undrafted rookie Isaiah Nair, the 6'4", 4'3", 4'4", speed wide receiver that has a lot to prove to everybody and himself. So when you're betting on yourself, it just makes me love you that much more. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean that huge catch, you know, that Isaiah Nair had, definitely one of the biggest explosives.
Number 14. Get used to that number.
Dude looks like the Predator out there, man. I'm telling
He's
you.
He's not Ricky Pearsall. Pearsall's one now. Just want to remind everybody, but that number 14 looking kind of nice.
It is. And, you know, back to the corner thing, like, you're hearing about Jacob Robinson. You're hearing about Trey Brown. Guy. You're hearing about Dallas Flowers. Not hearing anything about Darrell Luter Jr.
Yeah.
I haven't heard or seen much. And the fact that he's, you know, Trey Brown's getting snaps at outside and slot. And then you've got Upton Stout getting all the snaps at slot. Like, it seems like those two are the kind of purveying options at corner, especially with Renardo Green out for a couple weeks. Like, they're getting work at those two spots. But again, just not hearing a lot about Darrell Luter Jr. getting snaps with the starters. You're just not hearing it.
And that's okay. I mean, you want the best players out there. You want the best players to win the 53-man jobs that are going to be handed out. But let me just say this, John. We're talking practice. We have not watched preseason football yet. That is a whole nother phase, ladies and gents. So, you know, practice is one thing. And I know they say how you practice is how you play. There's some caveats to that. Some people are just born to play the sport. But he hasn't done much of anything in his career. So we'll see what happens. But at the end of the day, man, I like what we're getting. We're shaping up this DB's room. Even Coach Robert Saleh said that he really loves his secondary. He thinks that's one of the best positions to watch during training camp because they're going to get a lot of the one-on-ones, right? They're going to get a lot of the, you know, the coverages and stuff like that. I think what stokes me is seeing how complicated, once the offense starts throwing in little wrinkles and motions, does that trip up some of these young players? So that's something we got to look out for.
Yeah, and I think that's another thing. Russell Gage making plays. Like, one of these two veteran wide receivers, Russell Gage or Isaiah Hodgins, is going to be activated week one. Might not make the 53-man roster.
I don't think
any of
them.
We've seen the Niners.
But
they'll elevate, right?
We've absolutely.
We've seen Willie Snead.
It's the game.
Taylor.
It's the game.
Chris
Conley, you're preaching.
Like, yeah.
You're preaching.
And so Russell Gage seems like he is definitely the leader of that veteran race because you need that veteran presence at the wide receiver position early on. You just, the Niners have always coveted consistency and reliability over playmaking at the wide receiver position against young, impactful, you know, these Jordan Watkins types, even Isaiah Nair type. Like, Russell Gage going to out-snap those dudes early on.
For sure.
Might not make the 53.
There's levels to making that 53, though, right? And so if you look at a guy like, all right, let's just have a hypothetical question, John. You're Kyle Shanahan, and you have one open spot, and it's between Russell Gage and Isaiah Nair. Who are you picking, and why?
I'd want to keep Isaiah Nair, and then what I'm going to do is that gentleman's agreement that Shanahan always does. Hey, we're cutting you. We're going to waive you. But we're going to bring you back, and I promise to elevate you week one. You're going to get paid week one, week two. So don't go anywhere because the vets get a pick. So like Russell Gage and Isaiah Hodgins, they don't get claimed.
No.
They're vested, right? So correct. They pick where they go. So they're saying, look, we're cutting you, but we're going to bring you back on the practice squad. We're going to elevate you. You're going to get that pay bump, all that stuff. We're going to get you a higher guaranteed deal. Like, we're going to take care of you. So it's going to look bad, but you just tell your family you're coming back. We got you. With Isaiah Nair, if you waive him and he doesn't make the 53,
he's getting claimed.
Yeah.
And how many times, John, just off the top of the dome, why am I running your show? My bad. Have we seen Kyle Shanahan's cut players get sniped? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, get picked up, you know, and then come back and bite Kyle in the butt.
It's happened a lot. The one time, who was the guy we were able to stash last year? Evan Anderson.
We got lucky, though.
And he even said that. Yeah, Shanahan's quote on it was like, man, I was worried we were going to lose him, but we got him back, and now, you know, he's a mainstay and even getting starting reps year two. Like, good Lord, with the injuries that are there. I love this. Sticking with the undrafted free agent talk, shout out to Nicholas Parr, the Godfather.
Nick!
Super chat. My bros, always a pleasure. What two undrafted free agents on both sides of the field do you anticipate making this team? Not just special teams, real starter snaps.
Oh, that's a tough question. That's super loaded, though, because it's hard, John, for the undrafted guys to make real to get real starter snaps. Like, they will have to start on special teams, then more than likely there'll be some type of an injury, and then they'll get an opportunity. So that's a tough question, Nick. John, you go offensively, I'll try to go defensively.
Isaiah Nair has to be at the top of the list because, and again, this is part of the second part of this show today. We're going to talk about the 49ers stacking injuries at positions, which is a horrible thing. You know, Brad Graham just put out he's not seeing Ricky Pearsall at practice today, so don't know if that's a rest day. You've got Jacob Cowing hamstring. Juwan Jennings not practicing again today with a calf. Like, you're stacking these injuries at the wide receiver position, so I feel like that gives an opportunity to Nair. He's already got highlights out there, and I can guarantee you Kyle Shanahan was pissed off when the 49ers put that clip of Isaiah Nair having that huge deep catch out there. Like, dude. Yeah. Silence that stuff. Don't put that out there in the public. We don't want.
Hey, man. Once it gets out, it gets out. Hey, there's nothing you could do about it. Look, you can't hide these players. It forces Kyle to make those tough decisions, right? It forces Kyle to build those reports. This is why Kyle Shanahan, like you said, goes after certain vets. It's the guys he can relate to, the guys he can talk to, the guys he can build that rapport and say, hey, man, listen, you might not make the 53. But I guarantee you, you will be elevated. It's the conversations when you're dealing with grown-ass men outside of football, right? It's those conversations. And I think Russell Gage is the guy that Kyle Shanahan covets. I think Russell Gage loves to be a 49er. I think there are a lot of football players in the NFL that want to play under Kyle Shanahan. You heard Gabe Davis talk about, man – And let me just say this. The 49ers got to be the cheapest damn organization in football when it comes to free agency, still got players that want to come here and play. That should speak volumes to the play caller. So I know we get mad at Kyle, fine, cool, but that there's players that want to play for him. Man, look, opportunities might present themselves. Defensively, I love the offensive player, Isaiah Nair. I think he has probably one of the greatest shots defensively. There's a few players, but the linebacking core, to me, doesn't have the most depth. But that Stone Blanton kid is somebody I got my eye on, dog. We said starting snaps, but special teams – But I do feel like that kid can be a starting linebacker in the on the professional level.
Yeah, I'm excited about him too. And you got to remember, like, Saleh's a linebacker guy. That's where he cut his chops.
I forgot about that.
And all these other linebackers, he did not pick. He didn't pick any of them besides Fred Warren.
Good point.
Like, he has no allegiance to any of them. So, I'm just saying. My defensive, my two that I would say was going to be Stone Blanton and Jacob Robinson. I think
Jacob Robinson was my other one.
It's just where you go to put him. Where are you going to put him?
There's a log jam. So, unfortunately, I think some of the undrafted guys don't make it because, you know, I love Corey Kiner. But there's a running back spot. Now, I don't know how many running backs we take, but I like Corey Kiner on the offensive side. But I told y'all Jordan James was going to be a problem. That kid's a problem. Isaac Guerrero better keep it up. Jordan James.
Were you shocked whenever you heard like the biggest hit of camp so far was against Isaac
Winters?
It's like, dude, that dude just can't miss contact ever. It's just like he just runs.
He just runs. He just runs. But hey, man, when you got two heat-seeking missiles running 4-3 speed at one another, and I know they're not running 4-3 because they're probably an outside zone play, but at the end of the day, man, you know, I just had this conversation with my chat. I can't remember what show I was on, but I told him I played running back, and I was like, I remember one time I had to pass protect and I didn't get my pad level low enough, and I saw stars after that because we collided with the helmets. I guess we both didn't get low enough, but Isaac Guerrero is going to have to make sure, like, the contact is going to be there, but absorb the hit, but be the one to initiate the hit. Like, you know what I'm saying? As a running back, I think one of the things I love to do was to let the other person know that I was coming. I was bringing the thunder, you know?
I love it. Look at Johnny Dale in the chat breaking down players. I freaking love Johnny.
Johnny, what up, baby?
He's as good as they get. I love you, Johnny, man. You're the best. Where podcasters go to learn football. That's Johnny Dale Football Academy. Go check it out. Now, I'm excited about this question. I want to give you some time to answer real quick, Wayne, so don't jump out there right now. I want to go through. Shout out to JP Hellehard. He's the man, the coach, for the Super Chat. He says, how many starters will we have from the last two drafts? We are going to go through each one of those and talk about those. But I do have just a real quick update. Tomorrow, on the 30th Wednesday, we have our Zoom hangout meeting at 5:30 p.m. So that's going to be tomorrow. Those details have been posted on our Patreon and on our the49ersrush.com. So head over there, check that out. And if you're going to any games this year, you know where you got to get your tickets. Hey, Niner faithful, if you're looking for tickets to see the 49ers play this season, TickPick is the destination for the best deals you'll find on tickets with absolutely no hidden fees. TickPick guarantees the best price on tickets to every NFL game and beyond. Download the TickPick app and use code Niners, N-I-N-E-R-S, at checkout to save $10 on your first order. Again, that's code Niners. Get your tickets ready today to cheer on the team with the rest of the 49ers Rush community. And all of our events for the 49ers Rush road trip are sold exclusively on the TickPick app or TickPick.com. Just search 49ers Rush. This episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. Preseason football is underway and college football is just starting. But you can already make season-long, more or less picks for the 2025 season on Prize Picks. Enter your picks before week one kicks off. And there's already so many fun ones up there. Saquon Barkley, more or less than 1,475 rush yards. Josh Allen, more or less than 27.5 passing touchdowns. You want to pick your favorite 49ers, George Kittle, Christian McCaffrey, all those things, they are up there now. My favorite thing about using Prize Picks is just how quick and simple it is. Pick 2 to 6 players, their stat projections more or less, and if you get the picks right, you can cash in and win up to 2,000 times your money. Prize Picks is also the best way to get action on sports in more than 30 states, including California, Texas, and Georgia. So download the Prize Picks app today and use code 49ers to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code 49ERS 49ers to get $50 in lineups after you play your very first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, run your game.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
All right, let's dive into this. JP says, how many starters do we have from the last two drafts? So let's go through it. Pearsall, so this is the 2024 draft, okay? Pearsall, starter. Green, starter. Pooney, starter. Malik, starter. That's four last year. Wayne, do you count any of these guys as starters? Isaac Carendo?
Not a starter, no.
Jacob Cowing?
Not a starter, no.
Kingston's already cut. Tatum Bethune?
Not a starter, no.
Okay, so you got four from last year. Now we have to project. Mikael Williams this year?
Yes.
That's starts. Five. Alfred Collins?
Yeah, because base downs. Yep. That's yep.
Nick Martin?
I want him to start, but I don't know. No. Well... Well, base. I think those are your three linebackers you bring out.
I'm with you there. I'm counting Upton Stout.
Nickel. If we start out nickel, yes.
Yeah, that's eight. That's eight. CJ West?
No, he'll be situational.
Same. Jordan Watkins?
Situational.
Jordan James?
Situational.
Siegel, Marquis Siegel?
No.
Just no. Answer the and then the 370, Curtis Rourke, no.
No.
Carter Colby, no.
No.
Junior, that's eight.
Eight,
that's four and four. That's pretty damn impressive. Now, you definitely have to give chops to last season's draft because they put it on tape. None of the rookies this year have put anything on tape. They haven't played one down in the NFL. They're projected starters. And again, you talked about the 49ers being cheap at free agency. You have no choice now. Like, you have to start rookies. You have to.
Yeah. But this is what needed to happen. And here's the thing. We've tried it. With veterans, we've tried it paying players. We have not tried it with the youth movement. And I understand that it's not proven and there's question marks. But can I remind everybody that we didn't get young offensively? We still have the core minus Deebo Samuel. So your quarterback is there. You got the number one tight end. You got the number one running back. You got wide outs. You got guys, okay? So the offense is what it is. The offensive line is back, okay? So you're just trying to figure out who's going to play the left guard spot. That's it. You're filling in those two spots, Deebo, Ricky Pearsall. Left guard, hopefully Ben Bartsch is back. I heard he was out there working. He's probably going to be called up off the NFI very soon, so that'd be good. But defensively is where they get young, but you're just reacting on defense, man. It's not nothing you're learning. Hey, and you go make the tackle. That's it. You know, the secondary is where it can get trippy because that's where you got to figure out your coverages. And yeah, we're a little youthful in the linebacking spot, but this is where D Winters needs to step up. My expectations for the fifth round pick is that he steps up. I think he was drafted in the fifth round.
For which one?
D Winters, fifth or sixth. It was one of the two.
Fifth.
But
that fifth, was fifth, yeah. Round.
Those are my expectations. It's time. You're getting the opportunity, right? So now it's time. Now, will we see some brain farts from these young players? For sure. Will we see brain farts from first year starters? Absolutely. But how quick do they learn from their mistakes is going to be the question. And it's good that you have the staple of that defense, the whole damn defense, and Fred Warner helping getting guys, you know, together.
Yeah, and, you know, again, just to put this thing in perspective, we're talking back-to-back drafts where you're getting four starters. You go back to 2023, Jair Brown and D Winters, two. You only got two starters out of that group. That terrible draft. You go to 2022, you got one starter, one, Brock Purdy. That's it. So, like, you do have to give, like, back-to-back drafts, and again, jury is still completely out because the rookies will not all pan out. We're sitting here saying they, like, we're projected them to pan out, and, yeah, things have started great, but you gotta kind of wait and see what that fruition and what it's going to come to pass because they're not all going to pan out. It just doesn't work that way. Hopefully you get another four starters, maybe five, But I do like it. Now, I do want to talk just a little bit about George Kittle. You talked about the offense and how you brought almost everybody back, but Debo and Aaron Banks, which I don't think was a total loss. I think all three guys that you brought back that could play that left guard spot all outplayed Aaron Banks last year. So I think that's positive. Now, two of the biggest plays. Sorry,
You say the negative stuff so funny to me because it's like it's a stray, but it's the truth.
I would say the same thing last year. I was like, it's not
he
like
was ass. I'm sorry.
He's really bad when he's injured, and he just has not been healthy.
But I never thought he fit, and we were trying to change the way the offense flow because of him. You can't change. He should have never been drafted. No, is my point.
Should draft Creed Humphrey.
Never mind. I mean, can't take. Nope. Keep moving forward. Paving forward. Right. Can't go backwards. You're right.
Okay. So let's talk about positives with the offense, because two of the biggest plays in camp so far have been on the first play of team drills, and they have both been to George Kittle. So my question is Kyle Shanahan finally going to highlight George Kittle in the passing game? Warren Sharp put out most explosive plays to, you know, wide receivers, tight ends in the passing game on the first scripted 20 offensive plays. George Kittle wasn't even on the top 50 of the list. Like, Kyle Shanahan's the ultimate scripter.
Yeah, but John, but you know why?
Never early.
It's because we are looking to move the ball, running the ball.
Is that going to change?
It does. We don't. It depends on how well we run the ball. I think Kyle's offense is predicated and flows so much better when the run game is working. And who is one of the greatest run blockers of all time?
Trent Williams.
And George Kittle. Leave him in so you can hope they get the run. Now, what helps Kyle Shanahan's run game is having a guy like Christian McCaffrey. But this, I'm not saying that it won't change, but George Kittle is the number one pass catcher for the San Francisco 49ers. So how are teams going to defend him? Are you going to bracket him? Are you going to put a safety on him with somebody else helping cover? Because you can't put him on a linebacker in single coverage, because Brock better throw that ball to that position every single time. That's what Brock is looking for. But I think here's the difference. You have a tight end, too, that can do block like George Kittle. And I think this opens up that offense a little bit more, the pass game a little bit more for George Kittle. I think the hardest part for Kyle was not having that second tight end. And George Kittle had to stay and remain in at home base because Kyle wants to run the ball. So, yes, and we'll have to wait and see is my answer to your question.
Gosh, man. I want to, whatever the betting over is, you know, I always do the bets and stuff, and I love that. Shout out my bookie. We got another contract with them. We're going back for, I think it's year number 8 with these guys. But I'm betting Kittle over on receptions and yards week 1. I don't give a damn what it is, because he should be, especially with Juwan Jennings missing time, Ricky Pearsall missing time, Ayuk missing time. You know, how you're going to handle CMC, that's always going to be, you know, we'll see what that looks like. But man, if Kittle's healthy, which you have to hope that he's going to be, he is going to miss time at some point. And yeah, he always, you know, stays in the block. But Luke Farrell changes that.
That's what I'm trying to say. Like, having
he was their first priority in free agency,
and they gave him the most guaranteed money. Look, having
he was that, shocked by how much money they offered him. He said, "Like, dude, I was like, what? Okay."
having him changes, because remember we tried this with the three tight ends we had, big tight end, can't remember his name. He was from Atlanta.
You talk about Charlie Warner?
Nope, not Warner. He went to Atlanta, but the guy we got from Atlanta, he was a big tight end, good blocking. We would see 13 personnel around the goal line, and he was in
I'm going to go with your pronunciation.
Pronunciation. That is not it. That is not. I can't think of his name, but that was what Kyle was looking for. Not Dwelly. Dwelly's not a blocker. He's more of a pass catching guy. But Toyololo, whatever his damn name is, that's the guy. I feel like Luke gives us the best of both worlds, because he can block and he can catch. He can block. He can catch. He can catch. He can block. So having that makes the tight end position interchangeable. So when you see the two tight end sets, they might not be on the line split on each side. You're going to get motion to where the tight end, and it better be run fucking heavy to the left side, right side, whatever. I just know the run game is going to be in full effect. It's not just the offensive line. Tight ends are an extension to Kyle Shanahan's offense.
Yes. That's huge. And, you know, Johnny, he's just dropping dollars.
Toilolo is his name.
There it is. Levine Toilolo. It took me a while. Pronunciations aren't my thing. I'm from Texas. And shout out to Johnny from Alabama. We're kind of in the same boat here. But Johnny says, you know, what teams have done in the past is they overload blitz on the one side, which forces
them to
stay in and block. And we've talked about that before, but now you don't have to use Kittle. Still, obviously, those manipulations are going to be happening. But if you use, in the passing set, Luke Farrell as that quote-unquote tight end one, and if you do this from a 12-personnel set, it does limit the amount of times that you would force Kittle to stay in. I think he had like 60-some-odd pass-blocking snaps last year. Not that that number is going to go down to zero, but I think it should be in the 30s or 40s. If that's
100%.
40 more routes, especially on third downs, for Kittle, that's a huge that's a huge positive. And so I want him to be the mainstay focus the first month of the season offensively. I want more George Kittle. I think everybody does in the passing game. You want those explosives. There is not a better tight end in the history of the NFL, and I believe this, explosives than George Kittle. I mean, he literally holds the record for yards per target in NFL history for the tight end position. He's up there with all-time greats at the wide receiver position, which is crazy. So anyway, just get that damn dude the ball. That's all I'm saying.
I agree with you, but I also want Brock to make the right plays. I don't want him forcing it. Brock's not necessarily a forcer to force the ball into certain coverages or whatever. So it all depends on how the defense is playing. Like I said, if defenses leave Kittle on some matchups to where he's one-on-one or he's working the middle of the field and they're playing soft zone on him, best believe I want Kittle involved in the action. But if they're starting to bracket him and change it up a little bit to try to trick Brock to force him to bed that pass into that tight window, somebody else is wide open. Here's my thing. I trust Brock.
Ooh, I like. And that's kind of his best asset. I'm supposed to get the ball to the open guy. And we've seen that the first 2 years. Last year when CMC was out, he started leading guys.
Yeah. That safety blanket was gone. Yeah.
And so can we get back to that? And I think he does trust Grindo. I hope that he develops trust with Jordan James. I know he trusts Kyle Juszczyk. I know he trusts Christian McCaffrey.
That's a good point, John.
But, like, man, yeah, what's that going to look like with some of these younger guys? We know he trusts Rookie. We know he trusts Juwan Jennings. Juwan Jennings doesn't even have to be. That's the one where it's like, look, if everybody's covered, don't throw it. But if Juwan's covered, throw it.
Like, yeah, you're right.
he'll just go get it. Now, I'm excited about this next part. This is the majority of my notes, but I didn't want to start off on a negative. Rusty, the man, love you, Rusty, talks about how is the fitness staff doing their jobs. I want to dive into not only injuries, which are always bad at this time of year, but stacking injuries at certain positions, which the 49ers have now done at not one, but two positions. We're going to break that down next. 49ers Rush Road Trip is going into its sixth year with over 40 events at road games. If you are traveling to see the 49ers play this year, you got to come party with us. And on top of that, we give games, trivia, giveaways. We've partnered with TickPick this year. All you have to do is search 49ers Rush on any of the TickPick sites, apps, you name it. And on top of all of that, best dressed, giveaways, autographed jerseys, kids are always included, and get in for free with a ticketed adult. And a lot of times for select cities, we will have 49ers legends come out and you get to meet and greet them and get an autograph. Navarro Bowman, Frank Gore, Patrick Willis, Fred Warner are all players that we have worked with in the past. And trust me, if you want to build the 49ers community, you're traveling by yourself, we got you covered. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. I love it. And week one, we have the legend. Oh, look at it. Wade, I got to pull that down. That's too. He's got my shirt on, man. I freaking love that shirt. Wayne stole that shirt from me, and I ain't even mad about it.
Can't be. That's I seen it. I was like, nobody's claiming it.
I love it, man. I love it. We're going to be partying with Frank Gore week one.
That's my guy.
Maybe
John.
One of the most important games of the year up in Seattle. So come out with us Saturday, September 6th from 2 to 6 p.m. Meet the legend. He's first ballot Hall of Famer this year. Can't wait. Can't wait. Can't wait. Ah, anyway, come party with us. Tick Pick app. Just search 49ers Rush. We pull up everywhere. All right, let's talk injuries. Injuries are bad. Stacking injuries worse. And, you know, do have to start off talking about the defensive end position. And shout out to Teron Jackson, who's been released from Stanford Med. That is the most important thing. This is a game we're talking about. And injuries like that, I've been there as a coach and a player. It is devastating. And so for him to be out and, you know, all those things, that's great. The 49ers did move him to IR today. And so that opened up another spot. But now you have two edge players, Teron Jackson, who's kind of a back-of-the-roster, rotational practice squad type guy, and Eter Gross Matos, who we haven't gotten any updates there. Like,
I think that is... he's on the NFI, right? I think he'll be called up. We'll activate it soon. I think the two players that will get activated, John, not to cut you off, I think it's going to be Gross Matos and Ben Bartsch. I think those are going to be the next two players.
That would be awesome. I would absolutely love that right here. Steven says, new shirt idea, John Chapman. Quote, I love it, man. That's what I always say. But yeah, I would love that. And so the 49ers do sign a new player from the UFL, baby. Jalen Allen, in player from the UFL, from the Memphis Showboats. And he played at the University of Memphis, all academic guy, defensive end, rusher, small man. He's kind of more of that Bryce Huff. 6'2", 240,
speed
smaller.
Speed rusher, baby, yeah.
Speed rusher guy, so they're bringing that in. But I hate the fact that, man, you've already got two edges out, and you've got three wide receivers. You know, Ricky Pearsall, again, not seen at practice at the start of practice day. Juwan Jennings, not seen at practice. Jacob Cowing pulled his freaking hamstring on the first thing of routes on air. So let's go back to Rusty. How is the fitness staff doing at their jobs? Let me just say this. This is always my thing. I hate soft tissue injuries. Hate them.
It's tough to talk. It's tough to I don't blame the fitness staff. I mean, you can't tell a person how hard to go, like, or how hard to push or how hard to run. You could recommend, you could suggest. I use the fitness staff more as like advisory boards for the weather. Think about the weather. You know how there's like an advisory. I advise you not to go out. Then there's a warning. Don't go out. Today is too hot. Like, you know what I'm saying? So I feel like the fitness staff gives those things, but you don't know how these guys are going to push it. And hammies are tough, man. Okay. Hammies, they tighten up when they want to tighten up. And that's when it becomes a problem. I think the key is we hope he didn't tear the hamstring or off the ball. Like, that's where it gets a little weird. But
Shanahan said pool. And whenever he said pool, I was like, whoa.
Okay.
Did he even speak? And he's like, nope.
Oh, he said
the
pool?
Timeline comes out. That's 4 to 6 weeks.
Yeah.
So that's the timeline that we've got, basically.
Okay. Well, I mean, hey, it is what it is. But look, Jacob Cowing, who's the defensive player with the hand?
Renardo Green.
So these are hamstring injuries. Now the training staff has to figure out, like, you know, how to get these guys acclimated as quickly as possible without overexerting those muscles, man. Like, and these are players that train, they lift heavy weights, they lift weight. Like, things happen when they happen. These soft tissue injuries happen when they're ready to happen. It's nothing you can really do about it. Like, you know, the only issue about the hammy is that it's nagging and it can lag and linger.
Especially with speed guys, which Jacob Cowing is, which Renardo Green is. You know, you have now, I think Jacob Pearsall has practiced fewer than practiced fewer than five times in two training camps so far.
Can I get my take on the Ricky thing, though? I think this is Kyle managing.
I hope that's the
minutes.
The case.
You know, this is what do we call it in basketball? This is load management.
Load management. Oh,
yeah.
Gosh.
Yeah. This is
somewhere Michael Jordan just cringed.
Oh,
somewhere that dude.
They don't make him like that anymore. But today's game. This is load management, because what does Kyle suffer the most? It's like injuries at the worst opportune times to key positions from key players. So he can't afford to have his top two wideouts going into this season banged up, you know. And Juwan Jennings, calf injury, I think it's a crock of bullshit. I think he's either going to get extended I'm just going to leave it at that. I think the extension's coming soon.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope so. Shade, what's up from AZ Niners Empire, one of the best chapters out there. John, you're going to be at camp at all this year? Not much. They changed the way that they do it, and it's not very
I was telling people that too, man. It's like,
I'll be out there a couple times, but I didn't want to push it, and I'm trying to be home a little bit more. This last year, my kiddo being here before he graduates and moves off, and so I'm still doing the homeschooling gig, which we already started mass. It's going pretty good.
That's good.
We'll see how it goes, but I'll be at a couple of them out there for sure. I'm focusing most of my time and travel on the road games and trying to do things like a little peek behind the camera. I want to do what other people are not doing. I don't want to do what everybody else is doing. And I'm so thankful for those that are at training camp doing a hellacious job, because we're kind of dependent on that. And those people are bad freaking ass. And I mean that in the best possible way. And I'm very thankful to them. But at the end of the day, it was just kind of like, man, what is the value of 12 people doing the same damn thing? Anyway, so take that for what you will. I want to talk some CJ West. Because I got a question, Lori emailed me, what's up, man? And he said, you know, CJ West showing up, it's setting the tone. Because you didn't hear a lot about CJ West early on until the pads came on. And when the pads came on, CJ West jumped up to, you know, highlight reel, whatever, in the one-on-ones, had his best rep versus Dominique Pooney, blowing people up out there. Gosh, man. And a lot of people just out there saying, you know, Tommy's been on this one huge. John, CJ West is a dog, like we said. Best pick of the draft. If you were with me and Wayne for draft coverage, CJ West was on almost every one of our damn mock drafts.
I'm hoping people remember that. Like, as the name CJ West starts to surface, I hope people remember, like, this was a guy. Kept saying kid out of Indiana is a straight, powerful machine. He's my equivalency of last year getting that Braden Fisk guy. We finally get a high motor guy. I don't even need CJ West to start. We got guys that can start, but it's when you relieve those guys, does the energy slow down? Nope, not with CJ West, because he is pure strong. And I think the one thing we don't talk about as much with CJ West, and I know Johnny Dell watches his film as well as you, John, but my point is leverage. I think the key to his game is power and leverage, and those two things are hard to teach. And there was I'm not comparing him to this guy, but they're the greatest defensive lineman, I guess you can say. I don't know if he gets put in this category. Aaron Donald, power to leverage to power ratio was probably is the greatest that we've seen in the NFL, and he retired early, in my opinion, but he accomplished every freaking thing, right? And so he might go down as one of the greatest defensive players of all time. I'm not saying he's that guy. I'm just saying his size, his power, and his leverage is key to his pressure rate. Watch. Just watch.
Yeah, I like how Sala called him. He's like a little fire hydrant. Like, it just anchors, you know, just short, stout, what he does. CJ West, fun, fun player. I'm surprised we didn't get asked this one earlier. Bobo, talking a little bit about Christian Wilkins, who was released. I don't want to dive into why. We've called him Christian Freaky Wilkins, whatever. Look, damn good football player. What's the 49ers' desire? Younger and more inexpensive. Younger, cheaper. That's what this is. He doesn't fall into any of those. Does Christian Wilkins make every single team in the NFL better on the field? Yes.
Yes.
The locker room stuff, it has been well detailed. I mean, shoot, there's video evidence out there of that dude on the field doing crazy
hard
stuff.
Hard pass. No, yeah. Pause. I mean,
yeah.
Pause.
I mean, he's awesome. He is awesome. There's no doubt about that whenever he plays, but I don't think, like, now maybe if you had a major, you know, Alfred Collins, or you know, you got a major injury or something's just not looking right with those rookies, then maybe. But yeah, I don't see it with the younger, cheaper. He doesn't fit either of those two categories. So that's where I'm at. Rick, I'm wondering if Hennessy is looking more like the backup center and Zakel's battling Colby and Dillard for one spot on the 53. So Hennessy is playing. He's getting snaps at left guard, right guard, and center. So he's kind of fighting for that utility backup. And Nick Zakel, I don't think he's fighting anybody for a spot. I think Nick Zakel is a lock. He has got every single first-team rep at left guard since Ben Bartsch has been out. I think that Nick Zakel is the lock. And yeah,
I'll give it to you. We talked about this the last episode, too. I really wanted to give a shot at Connor Colby, the 7th round draft pick. So I still think he has an opportunity. But right now, Nick Sakell is getting the starting snaps at the left guard position. And he's been in camp with this team in the system for 4 years. I think this is his time, right? Like, and so let's see how well it translates on the football field. At least you got a smart guy out there, right? And a mobile guy out there, like when you're trying to move in the run game and anchoring and pulling and all that type of stuff. So we'll see what happens. But John, you called this, I'm not even gonna lie, you said Nick Sakell. Right now he's been taking all the starting reps at left guard.
Appreciate that, man. And yeah, pass protection, that's what he brings. Like, he might be one of the better pass protectors of all the offensive linemen not named Trent Williams. Like, I think his pass protection's up there with Dominic Pooney personally. Yeah. It's just he doesn't bring a lot in the run game.
And that's
so
the
he
key.
Is a one-dimensional guy.
Right.
But he pass protection, if you want better pass pro, Nick Sakell's your guy. That is what he brings. Now, Colby, that dude, he's got to fight uphill.
He does. He does.
And Dillard, he's got to get on the damn field. So,
he's on the NFI, so he's a non-motherfreaking factor at this point.
Okay, yeah, that's exactly the right way to see it. And that's got to change eventually. If you can't get out there, you're not going to be playing. You can't get out there, not going to be playing. Right here, Swaggy J. John, quick question. I've been thinking and wondering. Hope you can answer. If all the defensive players make it and are hit from this year's draft, how good is this team? You're talking top five defense. I mean, go back to 2020. Robert Saleh, with the most injured defense in the NFL, still had a top 10 unit. Kerry Hyder out there had like 7.5 sacks. Like,
that was without Nick Bosa. He got injured week 2.
Yeah.
He said 2020, right?
Yeah.
That was the ACL year. And he also lost Solomon Thomas that year. Same game.
Same game.
Not saying he was that great, but you get what I'm saying. He figured it out.
Yeah, so this could be, you know, a top five defense. Now, you do have to look at what you were last year. You were not a good defense by any stretch. Worst fourth quarter defense in the NFL. I mean, just most rushing touchdowns allowed by 49ers defense almost of all time. Like, those are the two things. Well, what did you do? Well, you went and got youth. Right? Youth could play longer. They are fourth quarter. Like, that, you're getting these young, energized guys out there, and you got all guys that stopped the run. C.J. West stopped the run. Alfred Collins stopped the run. Mikael Williams stopped the run. Nick Martin stopped the run. Upton Stout stopped the run. Marquise Siegel stopped the run. Like, so you're addressing two of those biggest needs. I would probably say a top 10 defense is kind of the expectation, but with the rookies, maybe a little bit less. But I would be happy if you were just top 10 defense and consistent, fewer rushing touchdowns, better in the fourth quarter. Don't put so much onus on the offense in the fourth quarter, which we know is not a Shanahan staple. But last year you had to score 13. You had to have a 13-point lead in the fourth quarter to win a game with Nick Sorensen back there. That's stupid. Two touchdowns in the fourth quarter lead. Like, no, that doesn't happen in the NFL. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so
I do know what you mean. And I agree with you 1,000%. The key to the defense, though, is Robert Saleh. So I think you bringing him back, it's almost like just saying, all right, Saleh, fix my defense. It was terrible. All right, cool. And then you go and get all the players you mentioned that do what they do best, stop the run. So clearly, number one option is stopping the run. And we're not talking about stopping the run in the first quarter. We're talking about stopping the run for the whole damn game and not giving up any explosive big-ass 60, 70, 50, 40, 30-yard plays on the ground, which would just like, suck the life out of a defense, right? And so I think that's where Robert Saleh comes into play, getting those specific players to do exactly what you just mentioned, stopping the run. And even more importantly than stopping the run, because part of not being able to stop the run isn't just because the defense couldn't stop the run. They couldn't tackle. We got tacklers, okay? We got literally bona fide tackles. You drafted Nick Martin in the 3rd round. It's a guy that led all NCAA in tackling the previous year before his final year in college, Oklahoma State, before the injury, right? We're talking about a guy that had over 140 plus tackles and led the nation. This guy can tackle. One thing he can do well is tackle. He might not cover, but he can tackle, right? And so, man, I think that's another thing that they're going to be looking to fix. And I think in tackling and stopping the run, John, it fixes all the other, you know, negligences on the defense, you know, the fourth quarter defense, the goal line defense, like where the Niners really suffered last year.
Nailed it. Wade, talk to us about what you got coming up, man. Where can we check out your content? Patreon is the place we got to go to, man. If you guys have not signed up for Wade's Patreon, go get it done.
Please. And listen, I got the dollar. So I do a lot of documents and stuff like that, where I'm creating stuff for people to read, statistics, things like that. I'm taking my time and putting it in there for this fan base. So if you want to support that, you get that on the Patreon. It only costs you $1 to sign up just to unlock that feature. If you don't want to watch me on extra videos, fine. But if you want those 49er detailed documents, staff, updated charts, all that type of stuff, I got it. That's what I do. Also on my channel, I got the Fantasy Football Show with my co-host Peachy. Nitty Gritty Niners will be back this season. The Bam Show will be back. Looking to have John on a few shows when he's not traveling this season. So the content is on its way back. But I got the good old Wayne Breezy, the good old faithful Wayne Breezy Show every Monday and Friday at 1 p.m. Eastern time. So come over to the channel. Support by clicking on subscribe.
Ah, oh, freaking love it, man. You're very good at what you do, man. I've always said, like, I want the Wayne Breezy TV network where it's just like a show. I want music. I want the sketch comedy. I want the food.
I'm working on it all, man.
I love it. Just real quick reminder, we do have our Jerry Rice tier Zoom hangout meeting tomorrow, 5:30 p.m. Pacific time, an hour. Come hang out. It's going to be an absolute blast. But, man, that's what we've got today. Week one is in the books for the 49ers camp. A lot more football and stuff coming this year. Thank you, Wade, for all you do. And for everybody else, as always, stay strong, faithful.